Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Grandma's hands clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hand played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hand used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hand. The local unwed mother, Grandma's hand used to ache sometimes and swell. Grandma's hand used to lift her face and tell her she'd say, baby, Grandma, understand that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands, Grandma's hand. Used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hand, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy. What you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core. But I don't have Grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll look for Grandma's hand.
All righty, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Grandma's Hand, Bill Withers. Beautiful rainy day out there, and I'm not going to complain. And on the way in, pouring, but we need the good water. So if you, we're going to be talking about several things, but again, in the vein of government. And I want to share with you a couple things that's happening here in town with how our laws are made and laws enforced and not enforced and, you know, the whole thing. And last week, I didn't mention it because we had a different subject going on, but you see that the governor's rankings are still down and still, I wouldn't describe them as plummeting, but they're declining. And as I had predicted, because the governor, Neil Abercrombie, has failed yet to incorporate the thought that he is the governor for the people, not for his friends and his big business and those few people that he has chosen and appointed to his cabinet and what have you, and paying favor to them. So nothing will really change with this governor other than his numbers. And I believe if there is such a thing as below zero, I think we'll witness that with this governor, because he's out of touch. And the things that goes on in his administration is should not be tolerated anywhere. As you saw, we talked about this last year, March. A young man we broke the story here of where one of the administrators in the DOBAR, Department of Boating and Recreation, was the allegations were that he was embezzling and misappropriating funds that were state funds. And last week he turned himself in. But that is just the beginning. The governor should sign a special task force, and I'll explain why, of investigators to look into the entire Department of Boating and Recreation, as well as the DLNR, there is a massive amount of fraud, abuse, and the harbors were in disarray. And this goes back to even with former Governor Lingle, who came in and attempted to privatize it, the harbors and what have you, with the intent of, quote, of making it better and giving better service to the people. The reality is some of these people felt that privatizing this effort was to serve themselves personally, even though they were state workers. And I'm told that this gentleman that was caught and that turned himself in, Wesley Choi is his name, he had an accomplice. And obviously you can't do this alone. But I'm told now that this accomplice is untouchable because of her relationship, that her kinship to the former Governor Burns. Now, I don't know how factual that is, and I'm not going to impugn the integrity or the approach of the Attorney General's office to see if they are going to, but many of people, of those same people that provided me information initially, also shared information that this could not have been done alone. There should have been oversight. And there's Ed Underwood, who should be fired immediately. He's a carryover from the Lingle administration. Now, I say this because I've gotten calls from Maui, the Big Island, and Kauai, speaking of how corrupt the DOBAR system is and the abuse, the diversion of monies, not spending the money that is acquired, giving favor to certain voters and then causing trouble for other voters. And this whole process, if you think that I'm kidding you, I think if there's an honest, in-depth investigation, I would say you would probably see at least 8 people go to jail or be taken to court at a minimum in this process. And we're not talking about chump change. We're talking big bucks. So anyway, that's one. And with the governor appointing Mr. Isla, who was cooperative and shared with us some of the information, but he has oversight of Underwood, and I believe that Underwood should be placed on administrative leave immediately, in my personal opinion. You can't have this kind of behavior occurring and not know it. And if you did know it, then that speaks to your inability to be in your ability to manage. And so while they were focusing on being turning the harbors into privatized measures and means, they really, what they were doing, it was allowing corruption within their ranks. And that should not be tolerated. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
You have a comment or question? Hello?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You have a comment or question?
Oh, just a comment. I have been listening to your show for several years. This is Alan. I used to work with Dolores and her projects down at 13 Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just amazed that you're still doing such a good job at your research. So I thought I'd give you a call.
Well, thank you. Any particular point you'd like to share?
The point that you were on was,
okay,
was pretty right on the nail, and I probably really like to just get off the line and
okay,
let you take it away.
Well, thank you, and anytime, feel free. We don't have any structure here, just it's for people to talk, and so if you think of something later, call back, and thanks again.
Thank you, Mr. Carr.
Aloha. Anyway, 524-1080 is the number, and again, I want to remind all of you that this isn't an attempt, and my purpose isn't to be, is not to be an entertainer. I wouldn't even know where to put a hat to even have either drop pennies in it or whatever. So this is a real life experience for me, and I'm trying to share with you. And sometimes it may not be as clear as it should be, but we're going to attempt. And a lot of the times sounds mean-spirited, but when government starts to deviate and take its own path and fail to speak to the needs of the people and address the needs of the people and are open, then it no longer becomes a civil conversation. We have to throw rocks because they don't listen. And they put things on our backs and in our hands, and we're then taxed with it. So anyway, I would encourage you, if you are interested, if you're voters and what have you, ask Governor Abercrombie to do something about this, not lip service. And you notice, while I applaud the Attorney General for doing this, and we might say that this is the governor's efforts, but I think there should be an immediate call to order that all of the past administrators involved should be removed, put on administrative leave, and have them to show what happened to the money, and sit them down, take an affidavit from them, whatever. Because Wesley Choi could not have put in a business, Canopy is the business, and turn around and farm out business, that's the allegations, to that company without others knowing it. It would be impossible. So that is the kind of thing that we're concerned with. Now, I want to tell you something about, we talked about this also a while back, and that is on the Hickam Air Force Base and the Alia Manu Military Reservation, Schofield Barracks, and the Kaneohe Marine Base. Now, you know that the governor, and at that time he was the congressman, Neil Abercrombie, and Senator Dan Inouye and others, they told us they brought the pork home with the building of military housing. You know, and this, it is the right thing to do. People in the military deserve a quality life because they have families. They deserve that. And in the process of and that need that they have, and we should extend that to them because they are serving the country. And regardless of what we think they are, they should be going to war or not, but they're in the Army. It is our defense, and they serve us. We should reward them with quality life, educations, and what have you. I'm a product of that. But somewhere, someone dropped the ball in government as to the needs of those people there on the bases, the servicemen and women and their families. And I told you about this a while back, about the chlordane, the pesticides and trematicides, and will be specific, aldrin, dildrin, and chlordane, and some heptachlor. In the old days, when they built the original buildings on the bases, they injected chlordane or trematicides or pesticides, organochlorines, and they pumped them in under the ground. The theory was that because they were, these areas where they pumped them in were covered, sealed with cement and with a roof, therefore there was no real threat of it migrating due to the rain falling directly down and leaching that product out and having it migrate into the groundwater or what have you. So our leaders, Mr. Abercrombie and Senator Dan Inouye, and they went and brought home the pork in the form of these new buildings and enhancing the military service members and the numbers. And that need gave way to homes and what have you. And so in tearing down the old homes, they contracted. There was a big contract, hundreds of millions of dollars, and it was given to a company called Actus Lendlease, an Australian-based company. And I'm still trying to track down who are they and what they are, but so far, I'm the information that I'm gleaning as I go is that it is a bank. And speaking with some of the contractors, and I might be off a little bit, but I'm told that it was a bank of some sort in Australia, not having the expertise in building homes. So I'm curious about that, and I won't make a specific statement and commit it that this is the facts, but I'm still looking at Actus Lendlease. And if any of you out there know of Actus Lendlease, that if you're a resident of Australia or live there and know of this company, I'd like you to share with us. But anyway, so they contracted this work out, and Actus Lendlease won the contract. And the boasting was that local businesses would benefit from this, the contractors, the carpenters, and what have you. There seems to have been some serious problems. Some of the local contractors had to take legal action, and others were moved in to take up the slack when a contractor would stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do this type of behavior because it's not consistent with the management plan. It's not consistent with environmental laws and what have you. So what then happens is you have the state health department. Not only did they bring the money, the governor brought the money here with Senator Dan Inouye and what have you, and they boasted about it. But what they did was they allowed... And now the governor has this responsibility. The Department of Health is the enforcer, a regulatory body, in managing and enforcing and regulating the practices that affect or deal with chlordane, heptachlor, and those things. They are the environmentalists, so to speak, the regulatory body. So what happens, I had a meeting Friday with here. This is a continuation of what I've talked about with you a while back. What happened was that the HERE office, that's a branch within the Department of Health, Hazardous Emergency Environmental Response, Recovery, or what have you. So they are the ones who are supposed to go and look at things and assess it and tell you what you need to do. But there's also the clean water branch within the health department. There is the solid and hazardous waste branch. And then there's a solid hazardous waste. And there's a clean water and clean air, noise and radiation. And you get the idea in the environmental side of it. The military, I'm told by the state just Friday, and military and its representative at Actus told the state, you don't have authority here on Hickam Air Force Base. This is a sovereign matter. You have no authority. And so if that's the case, that means that we don't have authority over the environmental issues and how to handle heptachlor and all of that. And this is what was told to me. And we've seen this where a senator, Ed Case, the candidate, I shared with you a story where at Y. Kelly Caves, he authored a letter on behalf of the Navy saying the same thing, that the Navy's land was sovereign and they're not subject to city, state rules and what have you. So what goes on with this is that after being told they're not able to come on the base and do any enforcement regarding chlordane, it wasn't their purview, there developed a relationship where the state health department, while being told they had no jurisdiction and oversight, they engaged in a relationship to serve as advisors, and there's a thing called EALs, Environmental Action Levels. That, let's just say, for example, and I don't want to get scientific with you, an example is in soil, if it's 10 parts per billion, that's a level that's set. and it's called an EAL, Environmental Action Level. And if you find it above 10 parts per million or billion, you have certain ways to handle it. And if it fails what they call a TCLP, then it becomes toxic and hazardous, so you have to ship it off, treat it special. Well, what happened in this case, the state, while being told you have no authority, went along with the feds, they're the military base, and its contract to act as lend-lease. And then while the, as I told you, the chemicals were contained under the building, when they knocked down the buildings, a lot of this material was exposed. So what did they do? And this is convoluted, but what they did were, they were reckless, and the state witnessed it. They would dig up an area that was already contained, and the state should have required them to treat it properly. But instead, the state ordered them to take certain measures. Now, remember now, this is the same state that is told you have no authority. And so this here office takes it upon themselves, from instructions from the higher-ups, to back off. But they are there to cover. They didn't involve the regulatory body, the arm that could prosecute. They didn't involve them. They didn't involve the Clean Water Act people or the Clean Water branch. They didn't involve the noise and radiation branch. They took it on themselves because, you see, that way they can contain it. And let me give you one statement to show you when politics enters into something. This is a document written by Larry Lau to the people that manage act as lend-lease in the military. Change order number 6 for burial of PI soil, and that's pesticide impacted soil. So we'll use the term PI soil in Earhart 1 and 2. DOH investigations found that the authorized contractor had not seen either change order or change proposal number 119. Change order 6 is unsigned with a handwritten notation by Freitas that, quote, subcontractor refused to sign. The and I'll get into that briefly. Further, DOH investigation found that this document appears to be duplicitous, a duplicitous version of a change order number 6, generated to mislead DOH inspectors. Now, here's an agency that's been told you have no authority, so go away. But for some reason, like some little puppy dog, they come whining and following, and, you know, that's where they get the term hush puppy. So the military gave them a little tidbit and said, okay, we'll let you come along, but you still have no role and you have no bite. And they were happy to do that because, remember, you want to cover this up. You want to make sure that former Congressman Neil Abercrombie and Senator Dan Inouye's pork projects don't get derailed, because this is big bucks. And where do the big bucks go? We don't know. But I can tell you, we have this great debate now by our congressmen, and we point fingers at the Republicans, the Democrats, and say, well, what's happening is that under Bush, they farmed out all the jobs. Well, I didn't see a fight go on with Abercrombie and Inouye saying, no, we'll take a native company here in America. We're not going to farm this product out. We're not going to farm this work out, this contract. There are willing and capable entities within the boundaries of the United States that could handle this contract. But you haven't heard anything about it. So to keep it from flaring up, the health department is doing what they do best, covering up for the politicians in this town, and also in the process exposing you, myself, and others, and the environment in general, to hazardous and toxic situations. And so that's just one instance. So they take this area that's contained, and they then move the soil, the contaminated soil, to an area. They excavate it to an area and deliver it to another area that's going to be eventually developed. So they're taking a pile of toxic material, a portion of it, I should say, not all of it, because they're leaving some in place, and move it to one area. And this area, in years later, going to be developed, and it has been developed. Earhart and Earhart 1 and 2. So the state health department stands there, watches it, and then basically doesn't make any reports to the public, makes no reports to its sister divisions or the branches that found within the Department of Health. They purposely covered it up and is still covering it up. And so they contaminated and they allowed the contamination to increase. And so one of the contractors, as I read there, had this material, was grinding it and processing it properly. They got into a legal issue. They got rid of that one, that contractor, inserted another, then allowed this third layer of contractor to do some work. We don't know where they took the soil. It isn't clear where they took it. We know that it was dispersed and spread out over a wider area. So the whole area at Hickam now is suspect to contaminants. There was one situation where, in the documents that we have, where they talk about materials were placed in a pond. Change order proposal prepared by Bobby K. Construction for, quote, removal chlordane materials and replace good dirt at building 26 through 27, including a line item for hauling of hot materials to disposal pond. No dates, company names, or personnel are listed. Now, these are letters from the health department who's supposed to be there regulating this and prosecuting these issues when there was illegal acts. But remember, they were told by the government they weren't to be there. They had no right to be there. So they were there covering up for the military and the contractors who were knowingly moving this contaminated materials around and improperly placing and disposing of them. Now, last week, I went up to, we're tracing and tracking this material. The state allowed them to operate so loosely that some or a large portion of this material from the military bases have found their way in the back yards and the front yards and the driveways of unsuspecting citizens. And while I can't jump to conclusion and say to you that this area that I went up in Haleiwa, there's a gentleman there who is breaking out in a rash, and the rash that he's experiencing in his illness that he's experiencing, lack of energy and what have you, is consistent with the rashes and the reactions that he's having to a worker that worked there on the base that became ill. And he provided me with his medical records to show, and the doctors say they believe that it is a direct relationship to the chlordane and the chemicals found in that work situation. So this second gentleman receives approximately 6 truckloads at 25 cubic yards a truckload from the military base. Now, I spoke to the trucker who delivered that, and this trucker say that he took at least four, he confirms 4 loads that came from under the building. Now, I don't want to imply that it's contaminated. We're going to wait. I took samples, and I delivered them to the lab, and we're waiting now for the laboratory results, and they should come in this Monday. So my next statement is, if any of you or yourselves or your friends receive soil from either base, Kaneohe Marine Base, Schofield Barracks, Aliamanu, Hickam, or Bellows, please give me a call at 524-1080 or 782-6627, and I will keep you anonymous. But my goal is to sample each of these deliveries, and let's find out just how dire it is and how reckless the health department. And so this is consistent now. If you remember, Governor Neil Abercrombie, the first thing that he got in office pretty much was to lift all environmental, suspend all environmental laws relating to these things, types of things. So I suspect that the governor didn't just do this for military munitions. He also knew this to exempt or inoculate or immunize any criminal activity that have occurred with the handling of these contaminants. Now, you might think that I'm sitting in a dark room and speaking out of, as a paranoid individual. No, I'm wide awake, very cognizant of what's going on, and I'm telling you, Love Canal is nothing. When you know what I know that took place there at the military base. So going back to the State Health Department, they work for Neil Abercrombie. He is their boss. Now, I don't know if the quote, bigger media is going to pick up on this because it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of time, and I don't believe they're going to get anybody to give them the details. I don't believe anybody's going to be frank with them. But I'll be Carol with them if they approach me and give them these documents. But again, what you see here, if you're not worried, don't worry because of what I'm saying to you. Just know that there is boxes and boxes of documents that I have access to. And I'm telling you, you will be floored with what took place. The State Health Department allowed them to move this material around, spread it willy-nilly, contaminate one area, and then there was part of the plan, the soil management plan, that's what they called it, that they all agreed on, that they were treated a certain way and scoop up 12 inches of impacted soil, contaminated soil, and move it and dispose of it properly, and then put clean soil over the area so that they could plant grasses and what have you and build the houses. Here's the problem. This company actually engaged in a practice where they would take up contaminated soil and then they would bring back contaminated soil and put it over there and then proclaim that it was done consistently with what was required by the health department. The same health department that they told didn't have authority on the base. Now, I know it sounds strange and it's a difficult subject scenario to describe to you, and I'm trying to share with you, but all I want you to go away with is that you can't trust this Abercrombie administration. You can't. If you do, then it's okay. Things will get better one day. But when you look at the pattern of deceit, lifting and suspending all the environmental state laws, so that means no one can come and prosecute. Now, in this process now, you probably say, where is the feds at in this and the EPA? Well, the documents that I have, there were at least three federal agents investigating these activities. Somehow, for unexplained reasons, each of those agents were removed from the case. Now, I'm not sitting here and say there's a conspiracy, so I'll just say to you that each of the agents that were assigned to the case, then I'm told that Senator Daniel Inouye's, one of his top representatives, were summoned to the area, went on a tour with one of the contractors, who attempted to show and tell them all of the violations and what was going on. And they never, after leaving that visit that day, They never responded back to their contractor. Senator Inouye's office never responded. Never followed up. Because they didn't want anything. And the special agents involved, nada. But it does remind me that out there at Hakima Road, the federal agents had this big bus where they arrested a crackhead on a moped for dumping some oil in the ground, but they were over there in force at Hickam, and nobody's been prosecuted. Stephen Swift, who they say was storing it improperly, they didn't say it entered into the storm drains or the land. They just said he was misproperly storing it and misproperly labeling it or something to that effect. He went to prison. The same state health department that is over there holding hands with the federal government, singing Kumbaya and watching the gate for them, hadn't prosecuted anybody. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
A question, because I didn't get the beginning of your program. So my question is, who and why and how did the soil get contaminated in the first place?
Okay. The soil became contaminated because it was termiticides, pesticides, or chlordane, algin, dildrin, was injected into the soil to prevent termites or ground termites in this tropical climate. And so that's how it originated in there. It was intentionally done. And mind you, at that time, it was a legal practice and still is. We still inject termiticides in the ground on the foundations.
Well, who did it? Was it the military that did it or the contractor?
Well, understand, it's if it was a contractor, they were doing it on behalf of the military who paid them. So it would be the baby in the cradle belongs to the military.
I see. Thank you.
All righty. But anyway, so I don't know. This attempt on my part here is to smoke these dudes out. Like we used to see some of you as old as I am, or ancient, we'll call it. We look at this and we remind ourselves how we used to run behind the tractor or the truck that come along through the neighborhood and spraying DDT. And so this is my intent, this effort and this that I'm doing now is to smoke them out that same very way, because we cannot. I'm not lying to you folks. And I'm not paranoid. I'll state it again. I'm not an activist that's gone mad. I'm telling you that what we have here is a nightmare. We don't know where they were taking contaminated soil and dumping it in a pond. This is a state health department's words, and they still didn't go and prosecute anyone. No one. And what they've done now, this area is so contaminated based on all of these missteps. And I apologize for not going through all the details, because you wouldn't bear it. You wouldn't tolerate it. But I assure you, the documentation that I have in my hand speaks clearly to mishandling, illegal activities, misleading the government. And yet, Neil Abercrombie wouldn't take an issue with that and won't authorize Gary Gill or anyone else to start an indictment process, because he lifted the environmental laws. He suspended them. So I don't know what's going to happen, but here's the dirty little trick. If you think it can't get worse, hold on. So now that they know that they've really blown it, and they know that the conditions are so bad and they've exacerbated it to the point where they don't know where the real contaminations are. There were levels exceeding the standard. Some of it was 30 milligrams per kilogram or what have you, when in instances it was only supposed to be 16 or 23. Not sounding a lot, but this is contaminants. And children playing in these areas and people eating. And I think the last time I read to you some of the documents where they had issued to tell the people that Don't play. Don't let your children eat it. They had a daycare center there, and the kids playing all over the dirt. And these were the rules. And they say, the state tells me, oh, we discovered that, and boy, we were appalled. You didn't hear about it in the news. You haven't seen a public response. You haven't seen a public meeting. You haven't seen the governor speak about it. But at Hickam Air Force Base, at least there, and then Schofield and Kaneohe, they all share the same common element that I'm going to speak to. So this material is so contaminated, and they've moved it over and spread it out because they were reckless and they wanted to make the bucks. They didn't care about you or me. So what does the health department do? The health department decides to go and charge them some $40,000. Not charge them, I shouldn't say, and it's not a penalty. But to make things pono, they say, I'll try describing that. I think it's something else. But they decide to get money from this company. And in doing so, it would compensate the state health department for all the work that it had done on the Hickam area that I don't know what they did, but because they were over there going through and watching and looking and taking pictures, they wanted to be compensated for that. That's all they felt. And then they say, okay, now the slate is clean, so to speak. The slate is clean. What we're going to do now is start from here. You have a clean slate. The contaminants now are still there. They didn't do anything major. They say that they took a few, they made them dig up here and dig up some, but they didn't clear it up. They didn't force them to clean it up, the entire area. Only those areas that they thought for right now would be a problem. Now, I don't know if that's true, but this is what they told me. So the health department then, after they agree and they give them that little $40,000, and you know $40,000 out of several hundred million dollar contract, that's a lot of money. That really hurts them, folks. It cripples them, right? I'm being facetious, but it does nothing. It's not even a slap on the hand. So they take that money, the health department, still yet not sharing with its sister agencies and calling them in and letting them making their own assessment and see if they need to prosecute. So what they do, they convene a meeting. So now you still have the contaminants there, and it's gotten worse because they were reckless and they did things wrong and improperly and spread it out. So here's what the health department come up with and is engaged now. They raise the EALs. In other words, I told you at one time it was 10 kilograms or 10 milligrams per kilogram. As an example. So they know that they've screwed up so bad and they've spread this contaminant all over the area. So they know and they can't quantify how bad it is, but they know it's bad. It's hot. So the health department under Neil Abercrombie and under directions of Senator Daniel Inouye, here's what they're doing, folks. They say, well, it was 10 originally. Well, in this case, chlordane, for example, is 23. Right? And Aldrin is something. So they say, well, why don't we just raise the levels? So in other words, it's the contaminants are still there in the same way that we found them and people could get sick from it. They're there. But to exempt and exonerate and immunize the company for its and military for its mishandling and improper treatment of these soils, they're going to raise the levels and leave the contaminants in the ground, on the ground, and in turn raise the levels. So that means if you test now, it'll always fall below the dangerous level. This is Neil Abercrombie. You want to talk about numbers. While his ratings went down, his EALs went up. And this isn't discussing alphabet soup, folks. This is simple. If you see him, ask him, why would he do something like this? What's in it for him? Because it's not in for us. And this is absolutely, there was a gentleman that got sick out there. He was an electronic, worked for an electric company. And he gave me the clearance to talk about him and share. in their records, in their letters in February 26, 2010, they talk complaints by Sean Jensen of Electrical Contractors Hawaii, an actor's subcontractor. Jensen filed a workers' compensation claim for skin rash and respiratory symptoms due to contaminated soil or PI soil exposure. Actus accepted liability after an independent medical examination. Now, I offer that to at least not to justify my statement, but to just to further tell you, you should be worried. Because Jensen is the canary in the cave, so to speak, or the canary in the mine. Jensen has already told us that he was sickened by this, and they conceded and said that, yes, he was. Jensen complained that workers' notification for pesticide-impacted soil issues was inconsistent and inadequate. See, they didn't want you to know. This isn't Carol Cox repeating this. I'm reading from the state's records that they didn't open to the public. I had to get these through other sources, through the contractors, a great many of these documents. I got a few from the state. But this is the cover-up, and I mean a cover-up. So DLIR investigated but found no HIOSH violations. Department of Labor and, right? This is the kind, they are not going to find any violation because the governor don't want them to find any. Senator Danny Noy don't want them to find any. How can you have a man who reports that he got rashes and then in turn gets sick? And they concede that he got sick, and they accept the responsibility and say that. And then the HIOSH comes along and don't find anything wrong with it. At minimum, he wasn't wearing the proper protective gear. And, you know, so you see the cover-up. You see the reason why this governor's numbers slip. So if he's slipping and dipping over here at Hickam, guess where he's slipping and dipping other places. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Good morning. I have a comment on chloridane. I was around when it was okay to use this stuff, and I was working for Waikoloa at the time. This was in the 60s, and I was living in a place in Puako that I wanted to treat for termites.
Mm-hmm.
And so the folks at the golf course gave me some chloridane. And I didn't know the strength of this. I think I just used a bandana dipped in water, if I even use that. And I sprayed under the house. And let me tell you something. I had the worst headache ever. I don't know how it didn't kill me. This stuff is nasty. And, you know, you've done a lot of work. I really appreciate hearing this, this whole report. And I can understand it's all about money, because to get rid of this, I don't know the half-life of chloridane, but to get rid of this stuff would be very expensive, and I think that's what they're trying to dodge. And, of course, we know Abercrombie's in the hip pocket because of his ability to orate on things that are just fluff, and
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff going on in the background. So I think people know, and that's why his ratings are slipping. But I just want to thank you for the program and just give you a little background on my personal knowledge of how this stuff is very dangerous. And
okay. Thank you so much. Aloha. Well, again, if it'll be okay in this instance to shoot the messenger, because I believe that this is a cause for dying for. So I don't have any problems if there's anyone taking issue with this. I'm here to tell you that I'll provide you every single document, and you can see for yourself. And I don't have the ability to sit here and read it and talk to you at the same time. And I am going to do another show on it. And just, but as the caller just stated, one, it's about money. She hit it on the head. Here's what the state told me Friday. We the state now, the same people that were told they're not supposed to be there. This is federal property. You have no right to be here. But the state health department says we felt that it was too expensive for them to dig up this contaminant and ship it out. We felt, we the health department felt, that we shouldn't dig it up and take it to the landfill because we would fill the landfill up. Yet, we were excluded and told you couldn't come in. It was none of your business. We were the ones who had three special agents on the case from the EPA, God bless their soul, did nothing. As much as I love Brother Barack Obama, I mean, I'm going to tell you, you can shoot me or scream at me. He's for the image that he portrayed, but my God, guys, the things that's being tolerated under this administration, I'm thinking about writing George Bush back and ask him to come along and join us again. Because you cannot have this behavior if you look at these documents. And I'm not being facetious. There's something terribly wrong. You cannot contaminate an entire island in this process and then stand up and defend it knowing that they lie to you. I just read a tidbit where they were saying the documents that they were presenting were lying. Other instances, they wouldn't talk. So anyway, I'll take up later on in the next hour some of this, but prior to that, I have an interesting, we talk about scams, and you know scams that occur, and a lot of the Nigerians and what have you, and you all get these emails. Well, I have an interesting story to share with you folks. A young man and a young woman, lady, they're newlyweds, and he's military, just moved here, and they got scammed. And you might want to listen to this, and there might be others out there. And the purpose of bringing this in and sharing it with you is to alert others, and they are willing to share their story. So please stay tuned, and I'll see you shortly.
Back when I had a little, I thought that I needed a lot. A little was overrated, but a lot was a little too complicated. See, zero didn't satisfy me, a million didn't make me happy. That's when I learned the lesson.
For the second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
They say that heaven is 10 billion light years away, and just a pure at heart will walk a righteous street someday. They say that heaven is.
We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
For every man, he loves us all. That's what my God tells me. And I say it's taken him so long, 'cause we've got so far to come.
it in my heart. I can feel it.
Okay, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. And we were talking in the last hour about the health department and its treatment of contaminated material there at Hickam Air Force Base. So I wanted to close with that, and later on after this subject we're going to discuss coming up, I'll have a few minutes or so to answer any other questions that you have regarding the contaminants. But what I want to share with you is that, so the state is now, come April, the state, who has no authority on the base, as the base has told them, you have no authority here, the state now has put together a program and drafted a document to go to the public and ask the public what they think about the issue of chlordane and at Hickam. But you don't know anything about it because they've been keeping it under cover and concealed it from public view and refused to give me the emails and other documents. They've sent me information, but now they're saying the information they sent me really wasn't worded properly and it was a poor document. So they're going to withdraw that document that I've been trying to review and had other review and introduce another. But here's the problem. In this process, they took $40,000, so they say, from actors to offset the work they've done that the state had done, compensating the state. And then they prescribed some cleanup methods, not to clean everything up, but some things like moving planters and what have you, and closing down the childhood school, the school there, the preschool that they discovered, or whatever it was. And so there's several points that they'd offer the Hickam people to offset the and mitigate the contaminants that are found there. So here's what happened. They're now going to give you, the public, an opportunity to comment on something that they're already predisposed. The state already know that what they want. They already know the outcome. They know that they're not going to do anything. They know they're going to raise the EALs because they're the ones who's prescribing what it is that actors would do to mitigate or to address the so-called contaminants. So why would the state trick you into thinking you have comment when, in fact, they've already made the decision and they're playing engineer to advise actors. They're playing the legal arm to advise actors because the health department has an attorney general on staff. And then they're also going over there and prescribing other things. So, and they've charged them $40,000 to address all the past things. So why would they need the public's input to raise the EALs when it's their desire to get it and they've already? Then let's say you, the public, offer good stuff and say that we don't think you should raise the EALs. Do you think it's possible that actors then will turn around and sue the state and say, well, we did what you wanted us to do and you still won't give us what we need and you won't immunize us and you're costing us money? We're going to sue the public. So I say my hat's off to the governor, and it's off to the governor just simply to bid farewell because there's just something wrong. I don't know how low his numbers have to slip before he resigns. But, I'm sorry, I don't want to make that suggestion. Then we end up with Brian Schatz, so I don't know, old Schatz. But anyway, we'll talk to you later on that. And 524-1080, and now I want to move subjects here. Shayna and Mark are two young people, good-looking folks. Aaron Waller is his name. Aaron and Shayna, they're newlyweds. Aaron is active duty, United States Marine. How long have you been?
I've been in the Marine Corps for 2.5 years.
Okay. So I appreciate you guys coming and willing to share this story, because we hear stories like this all the time, but we rarely get, we may see a little bit on TV, but we don't really get the details. And I appreciate you coming in and sharing, because there's seniors out there and there are people that are moving about and needing to rent places. This involved, folks, the rental of a piece of property or a condominium or a studio. We'll call it an apartment. So if you could, Aaron and Shana, thank you for coming in. Can you tell us, walk us through how you came along to find this apartment?
Well, we've been looking for a place to live for a while. I just moved to the island, and we just got married on February 6th. So we're looking on Craigslist, just trying to find places. And I found this place that was located kind of near his base, but in reality it was in Honolulu. And we just, you know, we were looking at a ton of different places, and this, I mean, it was a really good deal. It was, I think, $468 per month, which you hardly see. Mm-hmm. So we emailed them, and then they emailed us back, and that's how everything kind of started.
So you found it on Craigslist. And,
yeah.
And if I'm, the papers you sent me, it was for a Kaneohe address, right?
Yeah, it said Kaneohe, and then when they gave us the address, it was for Honolulu. So.
Okay, so and you're needing a place because you're newlyweds.
Yeah.
And you just got here to the island,
mm-hmm.
right? How long have you been here?
I moved in December.
Okay, last year, December. When
yeah.
did you get here, Aaron?
I've been here since July 2010.
Okay,
or
so
January 2010.
Living on base.
Yes, sir.
Okay, but not living out in the civilian community.
No,
so you now you're newlyweds and you want to go in. So you look on Craigslist, you find this address in this offering, and you contact these people. You contact them by phone or email?
By email first.
Okay.
I mean, that's what you normally do on Craigslist. You'll email the mm-hmm. posting, and then they'll email you back.
And then they email you back. What transpired then?
Basically, it was I mailed the regular email that was on the Craigslist, and he said, you know, get in contact with my wife. So his wife, I emailed her, and she gave me a whole bunch of questions to answer as like a kind of a survey of, you know, if
what
you can
kind
live
of
there.
Questions, if you would.
Like, you know, how long have you been married? When did you get married? What kind of couple are you? Just, you know, the standard questions that you normally get from people you're renting from anyway.
Really?
Yeah. So
I've rented many places.
We've been looking for a while, and they always just ask general questions,
okay.
you know, if you're a smoker, if you have pets, and all that stuff.
Okay. And so you answered all of those, and then what?
Yeah.
Well, basically, after that, she when the money aspect came into it, that's where I came in.
Okay.
So basically she told me that these people were telling her, all right, here's the rent, here's how much you have to pay a month, and here's how we want you to send it to us. So I go over to Western Union to send the
mm-hmm. – So you say they tell you how much. So how much did they tell you originally that you were going to – you initially started off $468?
$468 a month.
So then once you engage and start talking about – they told you – how much it was? How much did you have to send the first time?
It was the first month's rent plus the $150 security deposit, bringing it to $618. So at that point, I thought it could not be a scam. It's weird. Who would scam $618, right?
So mm-hmm. So $618 is what when you were going initially with and what was the rent and what?
Security deposit.
And security deposit. So okay. So 468, and then the difference of 618 was the security deposit.
Yes.
So then, did you send that?
Yes, we sent that to them.
Where did you send it?
They told us to send it to the husband who was on a missions trip in Nigeria. That was their front.
So a mission trip, a religious mission.
Yes, a Christian missions trip.
A Christian mission trip.
Yes.
Okay, and so. $618, you went to Western Union and forwarded, and what kind of phone number or address did you send it to? How the contact information?
All you have to put is his name, a test question, and the answer to that question, basically. So when he goes to pick it up, they ask him the question, he gives them the answer, they give him the money. It's pretty simple. There's
mm-hmm.
no account information, none of that was exchanged, so they don't have any of our information. But at the same time, it was just really easy for them to get our
okay.
money.
Yeah, that's why we weren't too worried about it, was because they weren't asking us, like, for our social security number or anything mm-hmm. personal. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was like, you know, most of the time if it's a scam, they're going to try to take your identity and all that stuff. So since it was through a legit Western Union mm-hmm. transfer, then, you know, it didn't go off.
Yeah. And the Nigeria, had you seen any of the Nigerian scams, you know, those dumb letters that go around on the Internet?
No idea.
That dear sir, you are the recipient of thank you for answering my letter. And my uncle died and left $80 billion. And I want you to, you haven't seen those?
No.
Believe me, they're out there.
I'm sure.
Lots and lots of them. So anyway. So you then send this money to, then what happened? Did you go see the apartment?
No. What happened after that was, I have a very busy work schedule, so it's not, like, for me, it's not easy to just be able to go to Honolulu. I got late nights, early mornings, so I'm kind of like, all right. You know, during the week, I'm staying in.
You're a Marine. They don't sit on that duff.
Yeah, so what happened after that was, they told us, you know, they got the money, and they're like, all right, good to go. Then we're going to send the keys. I'll send my husband in the morning to do the paperwork, blah, blah, blah. So
this is what they tell you. They're going to send the husband, and you're going to meet them?
No. You know, in Nigeria, he's going to go to some office and get the paperwork all done up for us so he can send it to us.
Oh, okay.
Then she emails my wife and says, hey, they're telling us we need you to pay the first and last month's rent. So we thought, okay, that's pretty standard,
makes sense.
Month's rent. That's how it is usually.
So this is after you've sent the $618, yes. So he wants you to pay the first and last, but only the last month, because you're paying the first month's rent.
Yeah, we paid the first month's rent, so we sent an additional, including taxes, another $520.
Okay.
So that they said, all right, so now your first month's and last month's rent are covered. Once they receive that money, first and last month's rent are covered, and the security deposit is covered. So mm-hmm. now the keys are on their way. The keys and documents are on their way.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really tricky about sending my wife, documents and forwards about, like, where the package is with tracking numbers. And like, it showed our address on this page that had the package and the tracking number, and they sent her documents of, like, papers of ownership of that apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So
showing that it was their name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
by the way, what was their name?
It was Brian and Julie Coleman.
Brian and Julie Coleman.
Yes.
Okay. And so they were in, and you were sending this to Nigeria, and they were going to mail it back from Nigeria because he's on a religious mission.
Yes. So after we mailed them that second check, and they said the keys are on their way, then the husband was at this time calling us pretty frequently. We were talking mm-hmm. to the husband pretty frequently, and we hadn't talked to the wife yet.
What was he sharing with you in these conversations? Still trying to pry more money out of you?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah. It was all kinds of just, you know, you have nothing to worry about. We're good people. You can trust us. God will provide for you. If you're having a hard time with the money, God will provide for you. You're okay. You know, just using a huge front. And, you know, me and my wife, we go to church. We're religious people. We want to mm-hmm. believe these people. So, you know, we could relate to them. So, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And after that, they said, all right, the keys have stopped mid-flight because you need to pay an insurance fee on them, $312, right? So another random number, $312.
So this is they're wanting $520 for the mm-hmm. last month rent.
Yep.
But they initially told you it was $468. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
But they raise it, and then in turn now they expect the keys. They're going to send you the keys, but now they tell you now they want another
$312 for insurance for the package,
for the keys.
Yes.
Okay. Did you send them that?
Yes.
Okay.
And then after that, I told my wife, all right, we are not sending another penny to these people unless we get the keys in our hands.
Mm-hmm.
And she totally agreed, like, this is getting a little weird, you know, and we're done paying any mm-hmm. money. And it didn't stop there for them, though.
So, you know, I'm not going to defend you, but just share with the public. I was once in the military, and I know that you have a small window of time to move in and move out, and you work for Uncle Sam, and you don't want to be lazy and lay around because that impacts your own team that you work with. So you want to get the job done, and you don't want it distracting you and your newlyweds. Mm-hmm. So I'm not defending you. I can know the circumstance. You want to get it, and you're new to the area, and you don't have all day and every day to go back and forth and look for an apartment. So, yes. So 312, 520, and 618, and then they needed that 312 for insurance.
Yes.
On the keys.
Yes.
Okay. Then what happened? Well, or they would stop the keys if you didn't send the money. They would stop the keys.
Yes. Yeah. So after that, we were still constantly emailing them every day, mm-hmm. Multiple times a day, just pretty much like texting back and forth with how many times we're emailing the wife. And we, you know, the wife then tells us that the key, you know, that they got the money, the $300-some, then like the next day or 2 days later, they tell us, hey, the keys stopped again. And we're going to need you to pay a $2,000 insurance fee on these keys. And I looked at my wife. I was like, no. Like, we're not paying $2,000 to these people for insurance. Mm-hmm. No one pays $2,000 on a package like that. It's not happening.
Not even on a Mercedes-Benz.
No, exactly. So I told my wife, tell them no. You know, email the wife and tell them we're not paying any more money.
Mm-hmm.
And when we told them we only have like $300 to last us 2 weeks between the both of us for gas and food,
mm-hmm.
they told us, okay, well, you can just pay half, pay $1,000, and we'll pay the other $1,000. And I told my wife, tell them again, we do not have that money. We already gave you all of our money.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, okay, well, then try to pay $500. Just try to borrow $200 from somebody and then send us that $200 and the rest of your money. And God will provide for you. You won't go hungry, all this stuff. So they're wanting us to go broke, mm-hmm. sending them every penny of our money so they can scam us out of everything. They dropped down from send $2,000 to send $500 just so they can get every last bit of money we have.
Mm-hmm. Since then you obviously denied that it didn't engage in sending them anything. But then what transpired? Have you had any contact with them since?
Yes. Well, first,
the good part.
Yeah. First, what happened was we went down to Honolulu to check this place out. As soon as we stepped in the building, we went to the office and we said the name Coleman. And the first thing the lady behind the desk was like, "Oh yeah, those people are scamming people." So right away, they knew exactly who we were talking about,
uh-huh.
and that they were up to no good. So I get like this personal vendetta against these people where I'm like, all right, you took me for my money. This is, you know, that's stupid, right? And so I go outside of the, I sit on the steps and I email them and I start telling them, hey, good news. We got the $2,000. We can't wait to send it to you. All this stuff. Try to get them to call me again because I want to have some words with them.
Mm-hmm.
So they send me another email back saying, oh, thank the Lord. You know, you got the money and just mail it to us as soon as possible. You need to, you know, the Lord is telling us that you need to send it as soon as possible, all this stuff. You know, I'm just like, these suckers, you know. I'm like, all right, good, you know. I'm okay. Like, I'm going to try to get you back, all right? You know, so I said, yeah, just call me because we have a way we want to send it now that's different, but it's faster. I was like, just give me a call. So they did call me last night. And, you know.
And what did they ask? Where's the money? Show me the money?
Yeah, basically the husband called and he sounded all tired. He's like, oh, it's really early here. You know, I wanted to wake up though. So, you know, I could see how you could get this money to us. Just use the same information as before. And I was like, okay, you know, we will I wanted to just start by thanking you for being so accommodating to us because you're just being so nice to us.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was like, and also another thing is we went and checked out the place and, you know, we learned a lot about you and just want to let you know that, you know, the authorities are on to you and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're coming for you. So you're not going to get any more out of us
mm-hmm.
and you will be caught very soon. And
so are you going to file a police report?
Oh, yeah. I'm finding this.
Apparently some have already been filed against them because they've been scamming since I think around January 15th.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when it was originally posted. Because when we went into the place, the lady already knew the name Coleman. And she's mm-hmm. like, no, they've been scamming people before. So after that, you know, I got on the phone with my parents, and I'm just, we're heartbroken because we don't have any money left. I mean, it's just the two of us. We're both living off of his paycheck. And also, we're not getting paid for being married yet because all of our marriage certificate and all that stuff came in late. So we're both living on literally his paycheck and still as a single man. So we're not getting any of the extra money for being married. So, you know, we're down to our last dollars. We don't have that much left. So I call my mom and I'm just like, you know, I'm heartbroken about this. There's nothing we can do. And then my dad, he's always got these projects he's got going on and he knows how to figure things out. So he looked it up and found that he also scammed another lady out of $4,000. So we're not the first ones. We probably won't be the last.
Well, hopefully it'll be the last. But
hopefully, yes.
I would just want to share a little bit to the listeners, and a lot of them don't have emails and internet. But here is from Julie Coleman, and the email is vstrick2004@gmail.com. Thanks for the email. My name is Julie Coleman. And good Christian. Yes, in respect of my husband who owned the flat, and also it is situated at 441 Walina Street in Honolulu. And also want you to know that it was due to my husband transfer that makes us to leave the flat, and also want to give it out for rent. A looking for a responsible person that can take very good care of it, as we are not after the money for the rent.
In reality, they were.
Folks, if you get an email like this, first of all, you know, it's just I've come to learn with a great many of these things, you know, and I'm in fact, they don't ask how old I am now. They just look for tree rings, you know, like for dating. But if you get something like that, one, you know, the key thing is that they say, I'm a good Christian. Well, this is, we're dealing in God we trust, money, you know. And so my suspicion is heightened anyway. But they play a lot of on the and then they say that they are am here. She's here in New York, New Jersey, in our new house, and also with keys of the flat. In this letter, they tell you they're in New Jersey, but then later they tell you they're in Nigeria.
Yep.
You know, so but once they get their hooks in you, that first little bit of money, it's hard to let go. And like you say, who's going to rip you off for $618?
And that's how they get you.
Yeah. That's how they get you. You know, there are some taxi drivers who will rip you off for $30. You know,
yeah.
I mean, money has an interesting thing. It's a trigger mechanism for many acts of unkind behavior. So, but what now? You're living. Where are you living now? Because you don't have your place, and you're not accepted yet, and on the base in the housing. So what's happened?
Well, it's nice because, like, I sent these people a last email. It told them what we're doing now, which is awesome because my wife has tons of family on this island. So when I emailed them for the last time just to kind of get another 2 cents in, you know, because I was angry, you know, I had some good words for them. And then I said, look, me and my wife have plenty of family on this island that's going to help us get back on our feet. We're living with one of her aunts right now that's just right away said, yeah, you're coming to live with us till you get on your feet. And, you know, I was like, you know, but I pity you because I know I'm going after them and I know I'm going to get everyone that I know to go after them and find them and get my money back or get whatever else back out of them.
So the manager at that Wailena address told you, or some of the people that worked there told you, that they'd had other scams of people come in and complaining?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did she indicate how many?
No, just one that we know of so far. But
she gave you the name and contact information for them, or
no?
You say your dad, did he get contact info?
No, I think he looked it up.
Okay, so you now, anything you want to say to others out there that might come across this? Now that you know that you've been stung by these monkeys. What do you do? What advice do you have for young? Because your situation scenario will repeat itself any time in any given day. I mean, because they're young soldiers, they do arrive here, they do look for places to live. What could you? What advice would you give them to avoid? What have you learned in this, and what would you do different?
The main thing is make sure you meet the people in person. I mean, that's the best way to avoid a scam, because with Western Union, they can just, you know, you can send it to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to make sure that, you know, you want to see the place first, you want to meet in contact with the owner and get as much information of them first before they start getting information from you.
Mm-hmm. And generally, papers are signed. And
yes.
Generally, you go and look for the house. And this is to those that are out there listening that may find themselves. You, a couple things. You want to look at the facility or the property, because you don't want to sign the papers and one day they, when you move out, they say, oh, this was all broken. No, you want to walk through, do a check off at minimum. You want to have that physical thing. So that would not guarantee against fraud, but at least it gives you something. And then you want to know who is renting it, right? Because you're going to be looking again. And believe me, lightning can strike a second time, because if you're young and you're trying, and they know this, and you know they know that you want a place, and maybe newlyweds.
Yes.
You know you were, I would say you were the low hanging fruit.
We were the prime target.
Yeah, I mean you were the perfect, and I offer that to say that it has nothing to do with your intelligence level or how smart you are. It was just newlyweds, new to the island, right?
Desperate for a place to live.
And don't have much time to run back and forth. You're an active duty member, and you might be deployed sooner or later, you know, with that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
And so what do? You leave your wife, your newly wedded wife, here with, what, no place to live? So they had you. You were the low-hanging fruit.
Yep. Yeah, I'd say definitely if you're going to get a spot or, you know, get an apartment for rent or whatever, just make sure it's really black and white. Everything lines up. If it's a really, really good deal, then, you know, proceed cautiously, because it's not, it might not be a good deal for you in the end. You
and
know, it's,
the other it's thing, I and I'm just speaking just off the hip, the other thing is go to a realtor. And work with the realtor for the people out there and ask them. Unless you know it's a friend who lived in it and has given up the place and you work something like that with the, but there should be a live body. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, as a former landlord, I used to concentrate my rentals on military persons. Now, the military here in Hawaii has a unified military housing office, where all landlords can enter their units for rent to potential military customers. Apparently, this young military person wasn't indoctrinated properly, maybe to go to this housing office run by the military to get maybe legitimate properties listed with that office, because
mm-hmm.
they do investigate anyone who want to put their property on their list. You know, I have a number of properties, and they want a lot of information before they will put my property on their housing list to make it available to military persons.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be a good idea that the indoctrination of incoming personnel, that's generally a part of the indoctrination too, that these resources are available to assist you in finding off-base housing.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's all I have to say.
All right, and thank you. And that is true. The military sets up basically a clearinghouse, so to speak, of rental companies or agents or individuals that have houses that are available for rent, but they have to go through a process. So to avoid scamming, and you know, and it's the fact that it's disheartening here is that you're a soldier, and then you got to go, and you're protecting such jerks as these.
Mm-hmm. That's what got me. I'm like, this man, he's fighting for your freedom, and you're going to go and do this to him. I mean, that's got to be the lowest of the low.
Well, yeah, it's not the 618. It's not the 520 that bothers me. It's not the 312. It's the idea that, and they know, because they knew you. You told them your situation, that you were a military.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
and it sucks for me, you know, because I'm stuck with, now I'm the man of the house. I'm a new husband, and now my wife and I have to figure out how we're going to live here for a little bit, mm-hmm. until we can get a house. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, for me, that's like the worst possible thing I could have thought of happening, and now it happened. And you know what, I'm a Marine, you know, I know how to think on my feet. I can think quick and improvise, adapt, overcome, and get us a spot. You know, I'm not doubting my ability to be able to provide for my family, but...
Mm-hmm.
Just the principle of the matter, like you said, is pretty horrible, you know.
Yeah. So anything else you want to share with the public out there, or you, any plea or anything? Or
That's it. You know, I just take heed when you're looking for a new place to live, and if you're a newly married couple, you know, just really step back and analyze if this is really legit. Make sure all your ducks are in a row before you
mm-hmm.
go to give anybody any money, and make sure you meet them in person. You see things in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
You shake hands. You get keys in your hand, and you walk away with everything we were told you're going
to
get.
Are you going to go back to Western Union and ask for, file a complaint of tracking there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go everywhere I possibly can to try to either find these people. I mean, shoot, I'll take leave and find them myself. I really don't care. I just, I want to get to the bottom of it.
Well, it's probably, as you're speaking right now, there's probably 100 Nigerians sitting in some little coffee shop with a camel staring down on them, trying to eat the roof that is sitting on a computer scamming the rest of the world. And it's possible that they're here, but... I would say what jumps out at me is a Craigslist. It just seems to be a gathering place for all sorts.
Oh, yeah.
What's your advice or your experience? Do you have any advice for them about Craigslist? Can you trust what you see?
You can trust it if you can meet the people. That's all I got to say. It's going to go the same way every time. Mm-hmm. If you can meet the people and you can see what you're going to get, you can see if it's an apartment, you can see the apartment, see the keys in hand, see that... the papers you need to sign, and after you sign those papers and give them the rent, that you can get the keys they're holding in your hand,
mm-hmm.
and you can go to your new apartment.
Okay.
That's it. I mean, there's any other way they can get you. If they say, oh, no, you give us the money now, the keys are back at, you know, blah, 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 we'll meet you here tomorrow. Like, no. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. now I know, I'd be like, yeah, well, no, you're not getting none of my money. Okay. That's...
Well, I'm going to try to post some of this stuff up on our website at carolcox.com and just alert people. It's 1 in 2 billion letters that go out like this, you know. And I would say, they say here, hope you are okay with the price of $468 per month plus security deposit on $150, which is $618. Here's something you can also, that jumps out at me. I look at all of these letters are consistently written the same way. Making $1,618 with hydro, heat, laundry facilities, air condition, internet, so on. And when here in America, we don't call things hydro.
Yeah.
You know, spell it out. It's water, free water.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, good morning, caller. Come in a question.
I have a comment and suggestion. I have the opposite experience with the scam because I'm the landlord, and I had my apartment on Craigslist. And, okay, I got contacted. And, of course, you put when the apartment is available. So they gave me a long, long story how he's going to get over here, he's going to work for the UH. And it was very questionable because I asked him, do you know where you know, the location and the traveling and traffic you have to go through to get to the UH from the apartment. And no, it doesn't matter. He likes the apartment because I had pictures in there. But so what they did, and I think this is was from Kenya, and then the thing came in from England. Well, they sent me a cashier's check over the security deposit and the first month's rent. And so what they did was tell me that they made a mistake if I can send back the $1,200 over that they paid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing that, and but it was a really nice clerk from Foodland, you know, because they asked you to send it Western Union.
Right.
And she heard me talking on the phone while we were trying to get the balance sent back. And she said, "Do you know these people?" And I says, "No, they're going to rent my apartment." And where I was supposed to send it was in the United States. The first it was in North Carolina, and then the next one was in the Midwest. And it was just really getting weird. But she told me to, you know, just wait until your cashier's check closes, and, you know, and then you know, you can proceed. And sure enough, it was a scam. So anyway, I was going to tell this couple that, yeah, they do have a place that you can call in the military, and they have all the outside apartment owners or housing owners that they can contact.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you did you eventually send that $1,200?
I was in the process of doing that.
Okay. And
I was at the Western Union at Foodland.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get it through, and somehow the machine was slow or something.
Mm.
And then in the meantime, the guy's calling me. "Oh, did you send it yet? Did you send it yet?" And I said, "No, I'm trying to."
So
and then
what did they
anyway.
Do? They canceled the cashier's check that they sent you?
It was a fraud.
Okay, it was a fake cashier's check.
Yes.
Okay, and then so you then they say to you, send back the $1,200.
That they overpaid.
That
I think they're supposed to send me $2,000. They send me $3,200.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
So have you seen any more of that, or?
No, I haven't. Well, you know, in that listing, I put it in Craigslist. So, you know, I just, oh, my goodness. That was that was an experience. So I really feel for your people there.
Okay.
I wish them luck.
All righty. Thank you for calling.
Okay, you're welcome.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Anyway, go ahead if you have anything to add.
That'll be about it. I mean,
okay.
Pretty much covered everything.
Well, if you want to hang around here, I don't know what much more, but I appreciate you sharing those details. And then this story comes out. This young lady here calls, and it's being bombarded with. And so the I'd say, and it's just not rental properties, all kinds of things.
Oh, there's cars and everything that can get scammed as well.
So I would say anyone out there looking to see this, two things. Don't take people to your house to have them to show you a computer or a car or whatever they're selling on Craigslist, number one. Meet in a common place. And take an accomplice with you. Have someone to accompany you there, especially with seniors, because there's all kinds of ways of getting in. You might be interested in buying a sofa or a chair or something like that, and eventually it grows out of that into something else. So proceed with great caution. And with Craigslist, the stories that I see, people meeting and meeting their death by meeting people on Craigslist, or people going and setting up dates and eventually being killed or things of that nature. I don't know. We can't blame Craigslist, but it just seems that there are predators out there, and we have to be aware of that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I hope you luck, and thank you for sharing the story with us. And, again, there are other soldiers and military families that will be found in the same needing position that you are. And I challenge anyone that's called you dumb or call you or refer to you as being suckers. No. Circumstance in general dictates how it is and your situation at the time determines how vulnerable you are. Let me ask you this. Are you now have a harder skin? You're prepared for the next? Is it going to be as simple?
We'll see.
Yeah. I don't think anybody can approach you again in this fashion.
No.
We learned our lesson.
honest people trying to sell us something will probably be offended by the way that we treat them now. Sorry, but it's not happening again.
So in other words, you know, if they get hit upside the head first to see if they're still alive, it's
yeah.
okay. It's part of the test.
Yeah. And you know, in hindsight, I'm kind of glad that this happened in a way because now I know that ain't happening to me no more. You know?
It happens, and I can give you a list of stories that, like insurance. They come to the bases and deal with the young soldiers. Oh, you want to invest your money in this? And you never see the guys
again.
It's
all a lie.
It's all a lie. So, good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, good morning.
Carol, I wanted to tell your couple, and I wanted to second the motion on the Craigslist. For a while, I was trying to sell my classic Thunderbird, 57. Had everything listed, what it had, what it was, pictures. But we blurred out the license plate.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, there are a lot of, you know, got a lot of just phony baloney calls. But then the real good one was this guy from Canada that was moving to Kauai with his wife to relocate. And he was all good with it and everything was fine, but what he didn't know was that my friends that are in business were helping me with the deal, and they made it very clear to this individual how the proceeds were going to be handled, and he would have to follow it to the letter.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was all fine with that. The funny, to make that story a little shorter because we're running out of time, when it came right down to it, he comes back with, does that car have AC? And there's nothing about AC. And besides that, it's, you know, it's a porthole hardtop.
Ah.
You know, on Kauai.
Right.
You know, in a 57 T-Bird, which is, you know, just basically a two-seater type bench seat, right?
Right.
There's no buckets or any of that. And that was the big tip-off for me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, no, now my wife changed her mind and she doesn't want it. And I thought, yeah, good riddance. But I was suspicious all along, so I just wanted to second the motion that they will try and get in anywhere they can.
Yeah.
As long as it's, you know, on the Internet, so.
Oh, yeah, unseen, they're anonymous, and that's the most dangerous thing. I don't know what situation is worse. So thank you.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha. All right. Well, that's the way it happens. That's as it rolls. So thank you, Aaron and Shana. And so you have a place now to stay.
Yes.
Kind of, sort of. We're going to be bouncing around houses for a while, but thankfully I've got a ton of family on the island that have been taking us in. So thank you to those families that have been helping us, definitely.
And so we don't ask much at this show, but I know some of your relatives, and I'm told they cook good. So
oh yeah, they do.
Come on down.
You're looking firm now, Aaron. You're looking good. You folks should see these guys. I mean, the perfect couple, and I mean the all-American couple. But I can tell you what, in about 6 weeks, a month, a couple. If you start hanging with the family, eating that good food.
Oh, yeah, he's going to get a good taste of Hawaiian eating, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yes. So anyway, thank you guys for coming in, and I appreciate you spending the time and sharing. And I hope that this wasn't entertaining. It was an attempt to educate some of the newer soldiers and younger people out there, and some of the older guys. You can be had at the at any age, and when you're in a need, and that's when you're most vulnerable. So thank all of you guys for listening in on that. And that was it's not comfortable sharing those kinds of stories, because it's just wrong that people would pray, and they'll pray on anybody. I mean, they'll pray. When I say that, they'll pray on themselves just to get a dollar. But that's the way the game's played here. So anyway, I'm going to try next week. I've been dancing around this issue and trying to put more stuff together. But I'm going to, in the very near future, we've talked about the Hawaiian Humane Society and the Humane Society of the United States and what have you, and all of the, as you know, I want to protect animals, and I live and die to do that. That's my purpose in life, to make things better, because in the old days I was a hunter and a fisherman and all of that, and now as I get older, I see it's almost painful, and it plays on your mind when you think you're taught that it's for food and all, but as you get to become an adult, it becomes recreation. So just to share with you my efforts, I love animals. I've always loved animals, but I'm trying to pay back that debt personally, that where I either went out and killed something and hunted it and shot it, and when I could have gone to the grocery store or grew it in vegetables and done better. So we all have that problem. And I'm going to talk about something I wrote about, and Senator Clayton, he and his willingness to avail himself to these animal rights groups, not all animal rights groups, but the Humane Society of the United States, the Hawaiian Humane Society, they all donated money to his campaign. And I wrote an article, There's No Beef, so you can pick that up on Carol at carolcox.com, and I'll love them. Yep. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, Carol, just a quick one. You know, concerning the Kanui Marine Base, there was a new segment, something about the coral dying over there at the base, near the base. You think that's the cause of the all contamination, everything going on over there?
There's a lot of contamination, and as we did a show, that one of the doctors who the media runs to and give her the microphone, she actually brought some sick coral in from out in the main Hawaiian island. So it could be a number of things, but they haven't quantified any of this yet. They don't do any real tests. They do sediment samples,
right,
but they don't do the extensive testing that should be done.
Oh, okay. Next time I talk to Schatz, I'll ask that question about the environmental thing.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Sure.
So anyway, this There's No Beef, and the situation is that Senator Clayton, he, as you know, is championing the shark fin bill and what have you. But why on earth with Pam Burns and Alicia Malufiti and the Oahu SPCA or folks, or there's a Stephanie Ryan and there's Inga Gibson, if they're out to protect animals, why would they be in concert and courting the senator who supports slaughterhouses, supports cattle ranching, and is a rodeo, was or is still active in the rodeo? So I'm going to be raising those issues and asking these questions. What about these folks? And it's borderline, in my opinion, in my observations, the closest thing we're coming to Nazism, because they're coming out and saying, we need more laws to protect animals. We need more laws. But as you know, in the Jim Montgomery case, the Humane Society was there and attempted to prosecute him, so there was a law to address that. The puppy mills, there was a law. The Humane Society, the Hawaiian Humane Society, actually took legal action, but they blew it, and then they're mad because you couldn't charge a corporation or something to that effect. So it's their misstep and ineptness that they're trying to conceal, and I think you as citizens, while we should encourage new law, new legislation to protect animals, but it should not be at the manipulation and the strategizing of these, I really have little or no respect for any of them now, because, you know, as a National Humane Society and the Hawaiian Humane Society came here and donned illegal badges, fake badges, and on the Bonnie Pang situation, as you can read that story on Carol at CarolCox.com. So why would Clayton Hee partner up with these folks? So we're going to talk about that, and I'm going to talk about it extensively. And don't send me any nasty letters saying I don't care for animals, because you would be dead wrong. But what I can say is that we're seeing laws being introduced by people that has an agenda, nothing to do with the real protection of animals, because if we wanted to protect animals, we would reconsider the contract of the Hawaiian Humane Society. We would educate them. We would train them. We would get them deputized. We would rethink this whole process. So something is wrong, and these folks are out to line their pockets so that they can turn around and say nationally, we did this. I never saw a single one of them in the years that I worked on the shark fin out there sneaking around the docks as I did, grabbing pictures and getting intelligence and supporting this movement to ban shark finning. Never saw a single one of them. But they were able to partner with Clayton Hee, willing and able. Who is he? So anyway, we're going to talk about that in greater detail in the coming week or next week. So I'll talk to you next week and see you again. Thank you.
Black is the color of my true love's hair. His face so soft and wondrous fair.
Tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108.